And it's Wednesday. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome along to Radio Yorkshire. It's Wednesday morning, and for the foreseeable future, we talk movies in the company of the ever-lovely Katricia Euphigenia Eloise Marr. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am chipper. Chipper.
Chipper.
I was going to have
Andy.
My first governor's meeting this evening as a school governor. I've just had an email saying it's cancelled.
Oh.
Which is a disappointment. But never fear, never fear. We've got loads to go through this morning. We'll be looking at the big new movie, Justice League. We'll be looking at the TV movies. I have some movie news for you as well. But let's start with clickbait then, shall we? Last week's clickbait, what movie was this from?
I'm also just a girl. Standing in front of a boy. Asking him to love her.
Oh, I love that film so much. I love that film so much. We put that clip out because, of course, that's a Hugh Grant film. The film is, of course, Cat.
Notting Hill.
It is Notting Hill. Is that the best of, like, the Richard Curtis films, do you think?
For Weddings and Funeral.
You think that's the best? It's a serious question. I don't know.
Yeah.
Love Actually?
No.
I do like Love Actually.
I like it, but it annoys me.
See, I think I prefer Notting Hill to Four Weddings.
Really?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Stop. The clocks.
I think it's great. I think Notting Hill's one of those films I can watch and watch and watch. Plus, Julia Roberts, come on, she's just like awesome.
She's pretty cool.
She's pretty cool. Well done to Paul in Wakefield. You're the first one out of the hat for the movie prize pack. Now, this week's clip bait, I have winging its way to me a Justice League prize pack.
Ooh.
Now, this will be pretty damn good, I would imagine, because they've thrown a lot of money at this film. So if you want to win it, you just got to tell me what film this clip is from. I think this week's is very tough.
What we like for this are bicycles. We've identified back roads from the Shemaran district, a couple of rat lines through the mountains to the crossing near Tabriz. Cars are off the table because of the roadblocks.
You wait till the weather clears up, then deliver the 6 bikes, provide them with maps to the Turkish border.
We have intelligence. They can ride bicycles, or we're prepared to send in somebody to teach them.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade.
The clue in there is that it's the end actor, that last voice you hear. He is an actor that is in Justice League. Maybe he plays Batman. At @radio_Yorkshire, studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk. I thought it was a tough one. You got that, like, immediately.
It's one of my favourite films.
It's a great film, isn't it? It is a really, really good film. Get involved. Get your emails, get your tweets off to us. What film is that? And then you never know. You never know. You could win that Justice League prize pack. Let's start with some news, shall we, Kat?
Yeah.
Because we've both got, pretty much got the same story as the top one, which is, of course, Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Which has been sort of breaking for about like a week or so now. But at the end of last week, after tons more revelations and accusations, this was really interesting. Ridley Scott came out and basically recast Kevin Spacey in one of his films that's due to come out in a month's time, which is All the Money in the World, features Spacey in prosthetics playing J. Paul Getty. Now, concerned the scandal might doom the film, Scott and the producers, Dan Friedkin and Bradley Thomas, shoot replacement scenes with Christopher Plummer in the role. Then they've replaced Kevin Spacey. So he's been, and even the movie company didn't know. He didn't even tell the movie company, Sony, that he was doing it. He just did it. That is quite stark. I don't think I've ever heard that ever happening in TV. I mean, people have been replaced, but I've never seen anything like this.
Samantha Morton was replaced in Her.
That's
the only thing I can think of. I mean, I think,
but it wasn't due to historical sexual harassment claims.
I think this makes good business sense if they just cut out the scenes. Well, I imagine they can't. If they just cut out the scenes, they might be accused of taking the easy road. He's made a good I think he's made a good business decision because people aren't going to boycott that film.
They're not now, are they?
No.
They're probably more likely to see it now.
Yeah.
Because of what they've done. Yeah. Which is, you know, it's just all horrendous, really. There's lots of different companies are moving quickly on this now. Netflix, of course, they're trying to wrap up House of Cards in a way without him. Or cancel it outright, which would be a real, real shame, because I've absolutely loved House of Cards. But you've got more on this story as well.
Lots of actors and actresses and people in the business are being asked about their opinions on it, and there's been quite a misleading line coming out of the Bryan Cranston camp, so people are kind of saying that he's... they're kind of inferring he's an apologist, aren't they? But what he said is there might be a possible way back for them if they're, you know, humble, said it would take a lot of time, and you'd have to assess it on a case-by-case basis, which I think is a smart answer, because there are people that have been not dragged into this, have been exposed by this, that maybe are on the other end of the scale to someone like Weinstein with all his accusations. So I think it's a valid point to say that some people could be forgiven, but he hasn't outright said...
Weinstein and Spacey should be. In fact, I think in the interview he says Kevin Spacey's career is over.
Yeah.
So it's worth having a look. I think it's an interview with the BBC he does, isn't it?
Yes, it's a news bit, I think.
Is it really? Newsbeat? Yeah, wow. So. Good Lord, so. Get you, Newsbeat. Crumbs. Interesting stuff happening in the world of Hollywood. I'm intrigued to see how they deal with this at, like, award ceremonies and opening monologues in award ceremonies, like the Oscars and the Golden Globes. I'm wondering how they deal with it when it's... that's going to be very interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Let's talk Pinocchio. Because looks like Sam Mendes, who was tied to it, he was going to be directing Disney's planned live-action take on the Pinocchio story. He's departed the project.
I didn't even know this was happening.
Yeah, he was announced as in talks to take on the film back in May, but apparently switched focus from a new James and the Giant Peach to turn the Pinocchio puppet way. Talks have not blossomed into a commitment, but, I mean, the Mouse House, they are really keen on these live actions. They are moving forward, like, on loads of them. Pinocchio, of course, Disney brought to life in the acclaimed animated form in 1940, drawing from the Carlo Collodi's 1883 novel The Adventures of Pinocchio. Several filmmakers have been targeting in the last few years. Guillermo del Toro was among them. He recently
admitted.
That's what he said.
I know.
But he did say his version was effectively dead. Yeah. So it's not going to be a Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio. That would be... interesting. Mendes has got loads of other projects, though, but maybe lured back by a certain secret agent. Do you think he could be back for a third and final outing for Mr. James Bond? Could do. The thing is, he did Skyfall. It was great.
Yeah.
He did Spectre. It was... Maybe he needs to do one more just to finish it off on a high, I'm thinking.
Maybe. I just hope they... don't do anything with James and the Giant Peach, because I love the animated version.
The animated version's great, isn't
it?
Yeah, it really is good.
You'll like this. Mario Brothers is going to be another film. The first one since 1993.
Yeah!
Which did not do well at the box office.
It's awful. It's an awful film.
With our favourite Bob Hoskins. It's going to be adapted by Universal and Despicable Me creators Illumination. It's going to be interesting because Nintendo are quite selective on who's going to work on their projects.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I can't see who would play them. I guess Josh Gad.
I suppose if you do it, are they thinking live action or are they thinking animation?
Live action.
I always. I don't think you could do it. I would fear another live action Mario film after the last attempt with
I'm
Bob.
I've seen Josh Gad and Billy Eichner.
Josh Gad, that works,
doesn't it? Oh, Antonio Banderas or something, a really old Luigi.
A really old Luigi?
Yeah.
I quite like that. And maybe Viserion from Game of Thrones as Bowser.
I don't know who that is.
He's the dragon.
Oh.
You know who that is, Gad. Let's talk box office, because the US box office, the comedy sequel Daddy's Home... 2, and Murder on the Orient Express, they're all trying to get that top spot, but Thor hanging on for dear life over in America. The latest Marvel offering stayed in place at number one, earning $56.6 million, according to studio estimates. That's the third outing for Thor now. It has now earned $211 million in the US and $650 million worldwide. That's just a week after release. This is a staggering success. It's really good. Remains to be seen if Justice League can steal the thunder this weekend. Daddy's Home 2 made $30 million. And Murder on the Orient Express, $28.2 million, which is not bad. It's not bad. I think it's the number one. It's the number one in the UK. Murder on the Orient Express. So it's doing very, very good indeed. Martin says, "I was thinking of seeing the new Thor movie, but after Chubby Ewok spoiled it, I can't. I don't think I've spoiled it, have I?
I'm not sure you are in the habit of doing that.
I did what?
You are in the habit of doing that sometimes.
What, spoiling movies?
Yeah.
Well, no!
I don't think you've spoiled it. Why have you spoiled it?
I don't think I've spoiled it at all. I've not said anything about it. I've just said it's all kinds of awesome. It is all kinds of awesome. What other news you got for us, then, Kat?
Get Out.
What a film.
Get Out.
All right, I'm off.
It's going to be... People... It had kind of lukewarm reviews, didn't it? Everyone said it was great, and then in the middle it lost its way. I loved it.
I thought it was brilliant.
It's probably set to be a bit of a cult film. It's profited now off of a $4.5 million budget, $253 million.
Whoa-wee.
So it's set to be one of the most profitable films of the year.
That's amazing.
But the most unusual thing about it is that it's going to be up for a Golden Globe next year in the musical comedy category.
The Golden Globe categories are always all over the shop.
They're
Martian
really
was a comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Ridley famously.
Scott was not happy about that.
No,
it?
And this is a horror. I'm sorry, but Get Out is a horror film.
Yeah.
It's not a comedy.
Well,
it's not a musical.
It's a satire, isn't it?
Yeah. But I still would put it firmly in the horror category.
Yeah.
Thriller, maybe.
But I'd love it if they got...
Comedy.
They got an award.
Yeah. It should get an award. It's absolutely
it's
superb. It's really, really good. And it is funny. There is some funny bits in it, mainly the relationship between the main character and his best mate.
Yeah, that's
a funny thing to watch. But yeah.
Oh, Martin said it's because you said you liked it,
and that's why it's no use watching it because
I think
it's
a spoiler. You haven't given away any spoilers.
All right, Martin, I hated it, Martin. I thought it was atrocious, awful film. Don't go and see it. Go and see it. It's amazing. That's all the news we've got for you for this week. Oh, hold on. It's time for Star Wars News. Yes, we have Star Wars News. This is our Star Wars News. Star Wars News now! Yes, indeed, Katricia. Star Wars News time. Last week we found that Kathleen Kennedy had come out saying we've got 10 more years of Star Wars movies. Ah! Now we've got even bigger news.
Yeah.
There is going to be a brand new Star Wars trilogy.
So is this going to be about...
Who knows?
Do we not know anything yet?
Nothing. We know nothing. But Rian Johnson, who has directed and written The Last Jedi, which is out in 29 days. 29 days. Got to get the right day, Darren. Got to get it the right day. He is going to create a brand new trilogy of movies set in the galaxy far, far away. No details announced what the new movies will include, but according to the official Star Wars site, the films will represent a move away from the Skywalker story arc and into unexplored bits of the galaxy with all new characters. Johnson will outline the trilogy and is aboard to write and direct the initial entry, working alongside regular producer Ram Bergman and the Lucasfilm team. Lucasfilm boss Kathleen Kennedy, we all loved working with Ryan on The Last Jedi. He's a creative force, watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish, one of the great joys of my career. Ryan will do amazing things with a blank canvas of this new trilogy. This is really exciting.
This is exciting. I'm guessing they can't tell us anything in case some main characters don't survive this film that's out in 29 days.
It must have something to do, you know, I don't know. But I suppose you've got to bring this sort of story arc to an end and start something new. There's so much. It's a massive galaxy that they've built here. There's so much they could do with it. It could be endless.
So we're at 29 days now.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you get mega giddy?
Probably the week leading up. The week leading up, I'm going to be pretty excited, I must admit. I'm so excited already. I'm so excited. I've not even put them. I've got two emails from Cineworld that have got my tickets on them, and they're still in my inbox as unread, because otherwise I think I might lose them.
Star them.
No, because stars are different things in my inbox, so I don't want to do that. So stars are music ones. there's a way I filter my emails, Kat. There's a way I filter my emails.
Don't mess with it.
It's got it in my head. let's bring you the big new movie of this week. It's called Justice League, and it stars Ben Affleck.
Arthur Curry, the Aquaman. On him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
Barry Allen.
Whoever you're looking for, it's not me.
He's a Batman.
He said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
My turn.
Come together. Right now. Come together. Right now.
Shall we?
It's good to see you playing well with others again. Just like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.
Well, that's what it sounds like. I'm going to go and see it tomorrow night at Cineworld, the brand new Cineworld at the White Rose. Looking at some of the early reviews, Kat, I think only people saw it last night.
Yeah.
The reviews have come out this morning and not looking good. Empire Magazine give it just 2 stars. That's not a recommendation.
No.
It's Dan Jolin with the review. He says it's breezily fun at times in a what the hey way, but lumbered with a story that struggles to find resonance beyond its improbable plot devices and preposterous MacGuffinry. Justice League isn't about to steal Avengers Super Team crown.
Guardian have also given it 2 stars. Collider have said it's beyond saving. I mean, this is really sad that, you know, you've got the reshots, and the only other film I can think that's had as many reshots in recent years, Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and that was another real, real poopy film.
We're in
wasn't
a time
it?
Where you can't just scrap a project. You're set to timelines, you're set to dates, you're set to. Well, there's so many huge actors in this.
Yeah.
You push for time, aren't you? You can't.
It's difficult. Then they've had to CGI out. They had to CGI out Henry Cavill's moustache.
What?
Yeah, this is one of the things they had to do. Well, because they had to do reshoots. But Henry Cavill is currently filming Mission Impossible 6, 5, 4. I don't know.
Why would he do that? Why?
And he's got a moustache for that, for Mission Impossible. And then he had to go back for reshoots. And they said, oh, can you shave off your moustache? And he's like, no, I can't. I'm not allowed to. I'm under contract with Mission Impossible, and they wouldn't allow him to shave it off. So they had to digitally remove his moustache in the reshoots.
Do you feel sad for them? I feel sad for them.
I do feel sad for them, but then on the other side of the coin, I think that what they've done is they've seen Marvel.
Yeah.
And they've seen what Marvel were doing and thought, we need to get a piece of this action.
Yeah.
And they've just tried to do it too quickly.
Yeah.
Marvel are on Thor. Is the 17th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Since 2003?
Since, what is the first one? Is it The Incredible Hulk? It would have been the first one.
I thought it was Daredevil, but yeah, it might be the Hulk.
But forget, that's not Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Is it not?
No, not part of this new MCU. But of part of this new sort of like all intertwined stories. This Thor, Ragnarok, is the 17th. I was sort of thinking about them in my head and I managed to note each and every one of the 17. But that, they've taken their time, and from Iron Man onwards, they've taken their time doing it. And they've had a plan in place for sort of 15, 20 years of, like, what they're going to do. Whereas it just seems to have been like, oh, let's get a Superman film going, and then we'll do Batman Superman. It just seemed thrown together. It did not seem like they had a real plan in place.
I mean, I said this to you, they've got Joss Whedon on board, who is heavily involved in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Now, surely he's going to be worrying about plagiarising himself.
You would think so.
And giving the DC its own identity. So that's going to be a struggle in itself.
I think it's just a tough one for them. The only one out of the DC Comics universe that's done well is Wonder Woman. And that's critically and commercially done very, very well. And that is a good film.
Yeah.
That is a good film. But as for Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, and now, I mean, I'm going to see it tomorrow night, so I'll reserve judgment until I see it, but overwhelmingly, the reviews are not good, Kat. Not good.
Sad for them.
It is very sad. Let's have a look at the TV movies. What are you going to be watching this week then, Katricia?
Tomorrow I'm going to be watching Kingsman at 9 p.m. on Film 4.
No.
Because I love it.
Do you love it? Even the joke
like
at the end?
Season.
Oh, right.
Because, it, you know, if he was a lad the whole way through, it would fit, but he's not.
I've not seen the sequel, but apparently there's an equally awful piece in the sequel that everybody's sort of like, why are you doing?
I mean, I know it's meant to be a parody of James Bond, but commit to the cause or get rid of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I did like Kingsman, especially the scene in the church where it's sort of like a massive fight in a church, and how it's choreographed is just mind-blowing. It's really, really good.
It's a bit Walking Dead-y, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 9 o'clock on Film 4 on Thursday. I'm going Friday, Sony Movie Channel.
We love it.
9 o'clock, it is great. The Game. This is from 1997. It stars Michael Douglas and Sean Penn. And it's directed by David Fincher. This is a great film.
Mm.
I remember seeing this at the cinema and being absolutely blown away. Michael Douglas is perfect in it. And it's he's a businessman and he gets brought a birthday present by his brother, Sean Penn. And it's like an all-encompassing reality game. But it becomes a tad too real. A tad too real. Have you ever seen it? Because it's really, really good. It's a real, you're not too sure what's real and what's not all the way through. It's one of those. You're like, is this a game? It's so, so good. As soon as I popped it out, I thought, that's not been on TV for ages. I will definitely be watching that. I'll record it.
I saw the poster and I wondered whether you were going to pick that.
There you go. What else are you going for?
Saturday, 9 p.m. on the horror channel, Creep. Now, I believe this was like a low budget horror in about 2003, 2004.
Okay.
It's set on the train, and I think there's like for a monster or a killer or something. I've always wanted to see it. I've never been able to see it, so I'm interested to see that.
Horror Channel Creep, 9 p.m. I've gone horror as well.
Oh.
But this is the 1990s version of Stephen King's It with Tim Curry. Hey, Georgie. It's all about seven young outcasts fighting an evil demon possessed in a child-killing clown 30 years later. But this is like everything. So this is the whole story. Obviously, the one that was out in the cinema recently is just the first part of the story. Yeah. Chapter 2 is coming out in a couple of years. But if you want to watch the whole lot, and this is a good version. It was made for TV, this, I think. It was like a mini-series, but they've popped it into like a film length. It's on at 9 o'clock. It's on for like 3 or 4 hours, I think. Stephen King's It, Saturday night, Sony Movie Channel. Again, another banger from the Sony Movie Channel.
Sunday, BBC One, 20 past midnight. I've never seen this, like the sound of the soundtrack. Man on the Moon.
What, the Jim Carrey
one?
You've never seen it?
Never seen it.
Oh, you will love it. Yeah. And then after you've watched that, then go on to Netflix. I think it's out this month, I think. Yeah. And it's Jim and Andy, which is a brand new film because Jim Carrey was in character all the way through the filming of Man on the Moon. Much to the annoyance of all of his co-stars, because he basically acted as Andy Kaufman did. And Andy Kaufman was, let's say, strange. I'll go for strange. So
eccentric.
Yeah, and there's loads of footage of Jim Carrey acting as Andy Kaufman, sort of like off camera and during the filming. Yeah. And they've made a movie out of that called Jim and Andy. And it comes out in this month. I'm sure it's on Netflix this month. And it looks really good. And Jim Carrey's all behind it and everything. But that was it was his process of becoming Andy Kaufman. But it does look really, really good. But if you've not seen Man on the Moon, Sunday, BBC One. Oh, it's late, isn't it?
It's a late
midnight
one.
20. Mm. Good Lord. Set your Sky Plus. Set your VHS. My last one is on 11 o'clock on Saturday night on Film 4, Aliens. This is an amazing film. It's obviously the sequel to Alien, but this is not directed by Ridley Scott. This is directed by James Cameron. And it's probably one of the most outstanding sci-fi thrillers / horrors of all time. It's absolutely brilliant. Sigourney Weaver waking up 57 years after the original events ended, only to be told that the planet she first met the alien predator has been colonized. Should she go back and help them out? Most probably she will. It's brilliant. If you've not seen it before, Aliens from 1986 is on at 11 o'clock on Film 4 on Saturday. Okay, let's remind you of the clickbait from this week. Here's the film. What movie is it, though?
What we like for this are bicycles. We've identified back roads from the Shemaran district, a couple of rat lines through the mountains
to the crossing near Tabriz.
Cars are off the table because of the roadblocks.
You wait till the weather clears up, then deliver the 6 bikes, provide them with maps to the Turkish border.
We have intelligence they can ride bicycles, or we're prepared to send in somebody to teach them.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade.
Gatorade. What movie's that from? At Radio _ Yorkshire, studio at radioyorkshire.co.uk. And Martin from Sweden, once again, tweeting in, why only American or English movies on clickbait? I see mostly Spanish movies. Well, we don't really do that many Spanish movies over here. So I'm trying to think of the last big hit Spanish movie.
La Orfanato.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It was.
Was it?
Yes.
Sure?
It's Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah. We'll be back at the same time next week for more movie fun.